have the Rambam right here. I wanted to connect, actually, two Rambams, one of which I neglected to give you, and that's the beginning of Hilchos Tainis. But the reason that I wanted to connect them is because I noticed that in the Mefarshim, actually, I will take one of those after all. Might as well read it inside. So, in the Rashi on Eicha that you have here on page 1, in Basi Loima, Loimi Yodai Boa Elaiho Azois Mikrehi Shahoyoli, Ein Zois. What Rashi is doing here is it's a tour de force. It's taking two ideas that are almost opposite and showing how they blend together. That Megillas Eicha is responding to two completely opposite arguments which leave the Ribbono Shel'olam out of the picture. One, that it's Mikra. And two, that it's totally the Ribbono Shel'olam. So how does that leave the Ribbono Shel'olam out of the picture? Because there's no longer a connection between what I do and the Ribbono Shel'olam. In other words, the opposite of Mikra is also Mikra in a certain sense, because I'm not connected to it anymore. So if you have a devastation and you say that's nature, so you're leaving the Ribbono Shel'olam out of the picture, but really what you're saying is memela, of what relevance is it to me except that I'm miserable? But the misery isn't connected to anything. There's no guilt, there's no responsibility, because it's not me, it's Mikra. Now what if you say it's not Mikra, but it's the Ribbono Shel'olam, but it's the Ribbono Shel'olam for whatever reason. And again, it's not me. So the maskanas hadvarim is that it's either not the Ribbono Shel'olam at all, or it's totally the Ribbono Shel'olam. But as long as it's not me, it's hayinu hach. You see what I'm driving at? And that's exactly how Rashi starts out. So those are really the two Rambams. The Rambam, of course, the other Rambam, which I neglected to give you, is the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tainis. The Rambam says, "Im telchu imiv keri afani elechi mochem b'chamas keri." What does that mean? So the Rambam says that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the punishment. And if you appreciate the punishment, you'll do tshuva. But by medvarim amurim, that you feel that this is not mikra. But if you feel nikra mikra, then you're not going to do tshuva. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel'olam punishes you not only for the original aveira, but for not appreciating the punishment for what it is. That itself is an aveira. It's an aveira of not understanding hashgacha. So that's the Lashon HaRambam in Hilchos Zmanim, in Hilchos Tainis, when he starts out at the very outset, and he learns that there's a mitzvah aseh min haTorah. Tainis itself, the only Tainis per se, if you're talking about Inui, there's only one Tainis that's Tainis, and that's of course the Tainis of Yom Kippur, the Inis and the Snapshay Seif. The Tainis al kol tzora shaloi tovoi per se, that is not a pasuk mefureshes, you should fast. So what is the pasuk? Is there a derisa of tainus at all? So the answer is yes. But what is that pasuk? So the Rambam here is teaching us that the derisa is uskatem b'chatzotzos. That concept, hariyosa. Mitzvah saseh min ha-toyra lizoik ulariya b'chatzotzos al kol tzora shetoveh al ha-tzibur. Or shaloi tov al tzibur is a euphemistic expression. Shenema al atzar hatzayir eschem varei oisim b'chatzayis. Kisava mechama ba'atzachem al atzar hatzayir eschem varei oisim b'chatzayis. Kloimar kol dover sheyetsa lochem. The Rambam also continues with an explanation of the pasuk that isn't on the surface of the pasuk. Because tzar hatzayir eschem would normally be described as a human enemy. Al atzar hatzayir eschem. The Rambam says Tzar Tzar Eschem could refer to anything which comes against you, human or otherwise, so it could include a dever, it could include a magefa, it could include a flood. The Rambam says, Kagon Batsoiris, a hunger, a famine, the dever va'arbe v'kayotze behem, za'aku alehem v'horiyu. So what is Vari Oisem? Vari Oisem doesn't mean that you go about your business and you conduct your life regularly as if nothing had happened, but he just makes noises with a machine, with an instrument called the chatzaitzra. So what is it? The dov zemi darkei hatshuvahu. Rambam teaches up, he interprets that concept of Ariyasim Bachatzaitzres is Dabazamidaka Achuva, Shebizman Shetovit Sora of Yizaku Allah of Yahiyu, Yedu Hakoil, Shebiglama Seim Aroim Hura Lohem, Kakosuv Abunesechem Hitu, Vizehu Sheyigoim Lohosu Hatzora Mealea. So the same thing that brought the Tzara will remove the Tzara. Tshuva will remove the Tzara because the Avera that they're doing Tshuva on brought the Tzara. The Hari Oysem is to accomplish not only the latter, but an awareness of the former. This is the Rambam's Gevaldika Yesod, that a person is in need of the connection, of the reminder of that connection. He has to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending a message through the Tzara. Not having connection to that Tzara is Mikra. That's, the Rambam continues, Avol. So it doesn't mean because they couldn't find the Chatzaitzra. So why aren't they being Zayek? Ela Yaimru Dovrazemi Minag Ha'olam Iralanu V'tzarazu Nikre Nikres. It's just a Mikre Ba'alma, so it happens. What am I supposed to do? V'harezu Derech Achzorius V'goremes Lohem Li Dovek B'maseyim Haroyim. The Rambam's Lashon of Achzorius is a remarkable thing. Reminds me very much of the Lashon Rambam in Hilchos Avot, the Perek Yud-Gimel at the end. The Rambam speaks about how if a person's not Mis'abel, he's an Achzorian. At first blush, what would anyone think if he hears a Lashon like that? If he's not Mis'abel on his Kroivim, he's an Achzori. That we would say, where's your feelings? Where's your sensitivity? Well, what are you, you made out of stone? But that's not what the Rambam means at all. That's not the Achzorius that the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam's Achzorius is that you're not giving yourself the opportunity to do tshuva. It's a very remarkable Rambam. I don't want to go into that. But that Rambam is tied very much into this Rambam in Hilchos Tainis. The Achzorius is that you see the golden opportunity. It's almost a redemptive thing. What can I make out of this tzara except for the misery that I'm in? It causes so much harm, so much damage, so much suffering, so much heartache. Is there any way to redeem it? So the Achzorius is that you refuse to redeem it. The Achzorius is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making his Bria suffer, he's making his people suffer, and they don't take advantage, at least make it the opportunity and the occasion to learn your lesson and to do tshuva. So that's a tremendous Achzorius. And I have a feeling that between the lines, the Rambam is holding Chazal behind it. I mean, it's not the Rambam, like the Rambam created this idea. But the Rambam is holding the authorities of Klal Yisrael responsible. In other words, Harei Yosem doesn't mean that, you know, you just pick yourself up in your house, you have a chatzaitzer, and you blow your chatzaitzer. It means that there's a call to arms, a call to action. There's an asifa. They go into the chayva ear. You know, they'll mislabish pesach. Somebody has to organize this. Who's orchestrating all of this? The answer is the Bezdin, or the Gadol Ador, or whatever it is. So he's the one who's responsible. It's his midas achzorius if they don't blow. So he says, Achzorius, Egoremes lohem lidovik v'maaseyim aroyim, v'toysif hatzora tzora sacheros. That's what the Rambam says, that the next tzora is because they didn't pay attention to the first tzora, and they didn't do the tshuva that was necessary. V'hu shekosu b'toyra, v'alachtem imi b'keri, v'alachti gam ani, imochem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chamas keri, kloima, k'sha avi aleichem tzora, k'desha toshuvu, im toymu shehi keri, Oisif lochem chamas oisakeri. Then he says, "Umidivrei soifrim lis anes al kol torah shetovah latzibur atchiru chomu min hashamayim." So you see a remarkable thing that the ikar, the iraisa of any kindness is not the fasting, and it is the call of awareness to focus on the tzara as Yad Hashem. That's really the iraisa. The iraisa is to identify something. To identify it as Yad Hashem. Comes along the Rashi, and this pasuk, Mipi Elyon Lo Yisaitze Arayis V'Atoiv, what you have here, and he says exactly that. V'im Bosi Loimar Loimi Yodoi Bo Eilai Horazos Mikra Hishoha Yoli Ein Zos Ki Im Bein Rois Bein Toivos Mize Omar V'Atehi Im Hashem Lo Yitziva. You see, the pasuk is very remarkable. Because like everything else in Kisveh HaKodesh Bichlal, starting from Bereishis until the end of Yoal, of Divrei HaYomim, till the last word of Tanakh, there are no punctuation marks. So memela, you don't know what's a question mark and you don't know what's an exclamation point. And what I find remarkable is, except for certain Balei Kriya, especially ones in Europe, there were certain communities where the Baal Kriya was an actor and his modulation of his voice told you the story. We sometimes find it by Megillas Esther. Some people do that by Megillas Esther. You know, Aveo Bachafui Rosh, you know, something like that. But Lamaisa, Bedera Klau, in a regular parsha, it's not done. But the question of a question mark and exclamation point can sometimes turn the pshat totally on its head. But nevertheless, we lay in it with the truck, with the mesnachta, with a self posuk, and that's it. So the question is, Mize Omar Vatehi Hashem Lo Tzifa. It doesn't say in the posuk, Im Hashem Lo Tzifa. It says, Mize Omar Vatehi Hashem Lo Tzifa. If you read it not as a question, then you say Miza Omar Vatehi, of course that's a question, who said it? And then you say not Hashem, Hashem Lo Tzivo, which is the exact opposite of Rashi's interpretation. Miza Omar Vatehi, Im Hashem Lo Tzivo. That Im Hashem Lo Tzivo is part of the Miza Omar Vatehi. Can it then be that anyone could suffer this kind of suffering if it was not commanded by Hashem? So if a person says Nikra Mikra, means the Romans are very tyrannical, and they are very, very much in charge, and they want that their organizational structures should not be played with, and they're not happy with any rebelliousness, and they're willing to live and let live until you show signs of chaos and anarchy and rebellion, and then they come down with a very heavy hand. So it's all a matter of politics. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam have to do with it? Or Nebuchadnezzar in his time, the same thing. He's intent upon conquering the whole world. So you're in the way. And especially since it happens to be that strip called Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, is a highway between these great empires, and they trample on the highway. So on your way down to Egypt or on your way up to Syria or wherever it is, you make everybody else miserable. So it's Nikra Mikra. It's politics. So leaving the Ribbono Shel Olam out of the picture, that's the Novi Yirmiyahu is tining Mize Omar Vatehi Im Hashem Lo Tzivo. That's how Rashi interprets the pasuk. So then he says, "Umipiv loy seitze hein ra hein toiva." So is that part of the question? Right? Mipi elyon lo seitze haros vahatov. Because he connects the words mipi elyon lo seitze haros vahatov. What ros and tov are we talking about? We're talking about the punishments or the rewards that come from leading, or Klal Yisrael at least, in a composite sense, leading a life against Hashem or a life which is of Abdei Hashem. So it's part of the question. Did anything happen that Hashem lo tziva? Is it not mipi elyon that the ro'os hatov are coming from? And then Rashi continues, avo, my yeshlis einin adam chai, gever al chata. So then, what is it if it is mipi elyon? So what's it all about? So here, there's the bridge. That's what I started telling you at the beginning of the shiur. There's a bridge here now to say, don't think for a moment that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos might be, that it has nothing to do with my hanhoga. You know, let's say it is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It isn't nikra mikra. It isn't some political scheme or some quirk of nature or some natural consequence, a tsunami or a volcano. It's time. It has to erupt, so it produces ash all over the world. What does it have to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam? In the corollary of that, let's say it is the Ribbono Shel Olam, but what does it have to do with me? So if the Ribbono Shel Olam decides arbitrarily to make chaos in the world, or arbitrarily, you know, to show that he's the boss, so he puts stumbling blocks in your way, it makes your life miserable. You see, you think you're something, I'm telling you you're nothing. Like, go stop. So that's not so. But what is it? Ma yisoynen adam chai, gever al chatov. It's part of a cheshbon. It has to do with mitzvahs and averus. It has to do with schar and onesh. It has to do with warnings and therefore, so he says, Kol ish v'ish yisoinen al chatov ki heim ha-meviim olav hara. Mi elyon lo seitze, amr Rav Yochanan, mi yom shama kodesh brochu reda satov zechus chayim v'satov lo yotza ra v'toiv v'mipiv el ha-ra bo me'eleo la oise ra v'atoiv lo oise toiv. V'fikach ma yisoinen lo me yisroim odom im loy al chatov. This chazal needs to be elaborated upon. I don't want to go into it right now because we don't have the time. But what Rashi said until that, those brackets, is very clear. It's neither not the Ribbono Shel Olam, nor is it not you. So what is it then? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam warning you and chastising you, and you have the opportunity and the responsibility to do tshuva. But in the pshat of the psukim themselves, Rashi learns his punctuation is one big question mark at the end. In Mize Omar Vatei Hashem Loi Tziva Mipi Elyon Lo Seitzei Hora'os V'Hatov. In the quotation, in the brackets, I just want to add, they interpret essentially the same thing, but by translating it Mipi Elyon Lo Seitzei Hora'os V'Hatov as a declarative statement, not as a question. But lo seitze haro'os v'hatov means it's not arbitrary based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's whim, kivayochol. It's totally in us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I give you the choice. And from that moment on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I devote my ra'ah and toiva, my punishment and reward, as consequences of your actions and nothing else. So really, what you have in the brackets, just bekitzer, is the same point, but translating or interpreting the words mipi elyon lo seitzei in a declarative way rather than as a question mark. But when it's a question mark, it means you think it doesn't come from Hashem, and when it's a declarative statement, you think it doesn't come because of Hashem. It's a declarative statement, it can't come because Hashem decided outside of you. It comes because of you and Hashem's reaction to you. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Hey, apparently, it's very remarkable. Why is in Hilchos Tshuva the Chadavah Pashut? Because the Rambam's agenda, unlike Hilchos Tainis, is not so much about punishments and rewards per se. It just happens to be that he derives the support for his thesis, dafka, from these psukim in Megillah Seicha. But his yesod is that without this, there cannot be any concept of tshuva whatsoever. Because tshuva is rooted in bechira, and the Rambam says, "Rishus l'chaladim nesuna im rotzal lahatois atzmei l'derech tova, v'liyos tzadik, harishus biyadam." Word rishus here does not mean permission as much as capacity, but permission and capacity are totally zebzeh, because he learns that it's Ribbono Shel Olam does not manipulate you or force you, generally speaking, one way or the other. So that's rishus means I am empowered. That's really a rishus. I am empowered. Ribbono Shel Olam gives me that space. So he's kaveh and machria, but he gives me that space. So I can be empowered to do toiv and ra. And if he wants to, v'hatas atzmai l'derech ra, lias rasha, har shus biyodah. Hu shekosu b'atayra. Hein ha'odam hoya ka'achad mimenu l'das toiv ra. Chloimer hein min zeh shel odam. Unlike animals, that they are basically driven by their instincts, and they don't make decisions, and they don't have a conscious sense of willfully determining the opposite of what's good for them, or choosing bedafka what's good for them as a choice. The human beings are unique, and they also unique from the malachim, because the malachim are also kavu of a kaima, and that's why it's mahalchim bein ha'im bin ma'ela. Kloimer hein min zeh shel adam ha'yoyach ba'olam da'ein min sheni doim eloi b'zeh ha'inyon. Now, does not in any way diminish, or in the Rambam sense, diminish the yecholus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, it is understood that at any moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu could slap the person down or prevent him by paralyzing his hand. There's a very remarkable passage in Talmud Torah which speaks about Chazdei Hashem and how incredible it is, because all of a person's chiyus is from moment to moment, from second to second, underwritten by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the Rasha is about to do this Aveira, and maybe an Aveira Chamura, even as he's about to do the Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to sustain him so that he's able to do the Aveira. Now it's very remarkable because, you know, you could say that's as Ageder from Haliteu L'Rasha V'Yamos, but he doesn't see it that way. He sees it as if, you know, I have a right to exercise my Bechira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even masking to that in a sense. And then afterwards he'll punish him. So whatever it is, though, that's what it means. Ei mishi ya'akev biyodai. It's of course ultimately always in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to be ma'akev. He doesn't mean that. He means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that space. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds himself and stops short of smacking the person down before he does the aveira. Ei mishi ma'akev biyodai. Al Yava b'mashaftucha, says the Rambam in the next halacha, davazesh armi tipshit masa'ilam v'roiv gal mei b'nei Yisrael. Shekadosh Baruch Hu goyze al adam itchilas b'yosel yad tzadik ha-rasha. Of course, there is no question about it. I remember once there's a certain younger man, he's a Rosh Hashiva now, but somebody in our neighborhood who's a very big tzadik, and kind of like from the day that he was born, you know, he was just always perfect. So I remember one of the balabatim that davens in that shul, he said, when I come to the Olam Emes, I'm going to say it's not fair. This person, he says, Rabbanu Shalom, you just made him that way, so what's the big deal? But me, I had a nisayon every step of the way. The Rambam says not that people have different measures of siyata d'shmaya and different measures of nature. It doesn't say that Yaakov and Esav have the same nisayon. They don't have the same nisayon. On the other hand, it's well known that the Vilna Gaon said that if anybody understood the Yetzirah that I was up against, they would be shocked, or may aim that in one formulation or another. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. So what you see is not always what you get. It's not always what's seething beneath the surface. A lot of times what you might think is a tzaddik that is b'teva a tzaddik, what the Rambam discusses in the Shemayin Prokim, is not necessarily so. When you get to know the person, or you get inside the person, or the person knows himself at least, he realizes that he's up against all kinds of monsters all kinds of forces inside of him that cause tremendous turmoil. It's just that he resolves it so well that on the surface everything appears to be calm season, you know, prosperous waters, whatever. But the fact is that that person may be having tremendous nisyanos. And you may have a person who doesn't have so many nisyanos, but he just doesn't mind doing the aveira and he enjoys it. So you never know exactly who is who. But suffice it to say that everybody who has nisyonos, according to the Rambam, it doesn't mean that they're all equal. And the Rambam is not saying, and the Shmoyne Prokem corroborates it, he's not saying here that everybody's exactly on the same playing field. The Rambam is speaking about extremes. The Rambam is saying there's no such thing as not having Bechira. But he's not talking about the nisayon at all, of how much you have to fight to exercise that Bechira. Ein adav akein, everybody knows that everybody asks the question, what does it mean like Moshe Rabbeinu? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his interpretation of it says that you can be as perfect as you are in terms of your own Kalkos HaNefesh as Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect in his Kalkos HaNefesh, but it doesn't mean you can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. It depends really what he means, tzaddik and Moshe Rabbeinu. But you can reach the ultimate heights, the Rambam says, or the greatest depravities, where he asks, Mi Barosh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ben David, Ben Yishai Ami Barosh, and he says, if that's the case, it's not for me. Chacham Aysachol, they all ask, what Chacham Aysachol, Mar Mikhilas Bar Yosai. And the answer that it doesn't mean your IQ, it doesn't mean what's genetically formed. It means, of course, your chokhmah in terms of your avodas Hashem, your understanding or comprehension of Hashem lekecha shoyel meimach harachman ha'azari. The same thing. Kili Yeshua, people are miserly. You don't have to be miserly. You could give the tzedakah. You know, you don't have to be giving everything away. You could control yourself. Again, is not to be taken so literally that influence and inspiration is out of the picture. The Rambam himself says, in Hilchos Deis, as you all know, Derech B'Yosef L'Shalod of Lina Shnimshach. He uses the Lashon Nimshach, and here it says Loi Misha Moishchai. So how could you say that Derech B'nei Adam Lias Nimshach HaChaver V'Reyav Menoye Kemina Anshe Medinasa, the Rambam over there in Hilchos Deis, and now he says that he's not Nimshach. Of course he's Nimshach. But he's Nimshach with the Koyach that I can move to another Medina. He's Nimshach with the Koyach that I don't really have to listen if I don't want to. It's just that the nisayon of a person becomes such that he ends up being inspired by the environment, and that's his own fault. That's what the Rambam is saying. Now it gets to the pasuk. Hu sheyimiyo ama mipi elyon lo seitzei harois v'hatoiv kloimar. Now you see clearly here that the Rambam starts out in his pirush of the pasuk without a question mark at all. Mipi elyon is lo seitzei harois v'hatoiv. And the interpretation of Mipi Elyon Lo Seitzei Haro'es V'Hatov is not in terms of punishments, it's in terms of the definition of who a person is. Is he Ra or is he Tov? Mipi Elyon Lo Seitzei, the determination in an absolute way that this person has to be Ra or that this person must be Tov. Ki klomar, Eina Bayre Geyser Al Ha'odom Liyos Tov V'Loy Liyos Ra. The cave and Shekain. If he's determined, then that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made it happen. So what am I supposed to be depressed about? That's me. But if you blew it, if you messed up, if you had the opportunity and you failed in that opportunity, on that it's very kedai to be misonein and to cry and to lament. And that's mayis oinen odom chai, on what is worth lamenting, gever al chatov. So the fikach roi lo divka sulkana chatov, hu shekosat acharov mayis oinen odom chai, v'chul. V'chozar v'omar, hoyul ur shusenu biyodenu midatenu asinu kol harois, roi lonu lavzor b'tshuva v'lazoi v'sh'enu, Shoshus Atobiadenu, who Shekosuv Acharov, Nach Besodra Chenu, Venachor, Venashuva Hashem. So the Rambam, you know, that Perik in Eicha has, again, the Aleph Beis, and the Psukim are, according to the Aleph Beis, Mipi Elyon Lot Seit Seharos Vahatov, and Mayison and Odom Chayder, three of each letter of the Aleph Beis, and then comes the letter Nun. Nach besod rochenu v'nachkor nachnu pashanu marinu, etc., etc. So the Rambam's interpretation of the psukim, in effect, is essentially the same as Rashi, but not his actual translation of the words. In other words, the point of the psukim remains the same. And the Rambam says, Zeu ikur gadol hu va'amud atzir va'mitzvah shenema reino satu felech ayoyim es achayim uksiv re'e anochi noisen lefneichem ayoyim. What is noisen lefneichem? I am offering you the opportunity. They have a remarkable story that I tell over. There was a certain person that was a drug addict. And the addiction was Nairav Ayam, and basically he spent his day shooting up. That's the bottom line. And he was a brilliant fellow. Would have a very remarkable story. There was a person that was very attached to me when he was a child. His parents used to come for Yomim Nairayim when I had a shul in the Lower East Side, but that was about it. And they had really no great shaychus to Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs, but they used to come to the right and probably kept a seder, etc. And this boy came and he took a liking to me as a child, as a little as a kid, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, whatever. And the parents put an end to the whole relationship, which was very intense for a short while, when they saw him putting on a yarmulke and tzitzis, and they saw that where this is headed, you know, Rachmana Litzlan. You know, he's going to become religious. And all the fear that's associated that, you know, he's not going to amount to whatever he was supposed to amount to, and he may divorce himself from them because he sees that they're not behaving that way, and all the other pechadim and nonsense that people conjure up when they're afraid of losing their child, quote unquote. It's most remarkable thing. Anyhow, the bottom line is he went to a very chashuva public school, and in that public school, public high school, he met up with the wrong people, and he started with drugs. And this goes back a long time. He spent many years in jail subsequently. But at the time of the story, he was sitting there in front of a television screen, watching one video after another. But not, I think it was catatonic. I mean, he just managed, just shooting him up, and it was terrible. So a relative of his calls me up and he says, "I have to do something." So I said, "What do you mean I have to do something? I haven't seen the person in ages. He's gone through methadone clinics. He's gone. He was in jail for a certain amount of time, a year or so, and he's spoken to psychologists and psychiatrists and." There isn't a person that wasn't the topple with him, and you expect me to do something. He says, "Rabbi, there's nobody else that could possibly do anything. You have to give him a chance." So I really was responding to him more than had any have him is that I would be able to accomplish anything. And I went out, and I saw this Mara Noira of a person that was mamish. I came in, and it was a slight recognition, from the Yomim HaRishonim, and then he went back to his catatonic pose. I spoke to him for about 2 or 3 hours and got absolutely nowhere. He didn't even twitch, not a movement. And I was getting sicker by the minute. Finally, I decided that this can't go on. I felt very faint. I felt very helpless and useless. And I said to myself, "I'm going home." But then I said, "But Afal Pikein, let's try something at least." So I took him out of his environment. They're sitting there in that chair in the apartment. I said, "Let's go. We're going for a walk." So I basically led him, like he was a zombie. Anyway, I took him downstairs and we walked around the block about 200 times. It was a very chilly day and kind of like gave me at least a little bit of a back to life. Yeah, but he's nothing. Nothing's happening. Finally, in total desperation, I pushed him against the chain link fence. There was a school there, in the schoolyard, and there was a chain link fence. I pushed him, he's about twice as big as I am. But I pushed him against the chain of fence and I said, "Listen, the Bnei Shalom says, Re'ina satut v'necha yoyim es ha'chayim es ha'toyv es ha'movis v'sara." And then the Rosh Hashanah says, "Uvacharta b'chayim." The person has oxygen and the person's dying, and he desperately needs oxygen. And the fellow comes from Hatzalah with the oxygen tank and the mask, and then he has to beg the person to take the oxygen. Hayitochen. You have to beg the person to take the oxygen. So I said, "You know what the teretz is? The teretz is that the person doesn't know that he's dying from lack of oxygen. That's what most people don't know. But you, take a look at you. Take a look at what happened to you. And take a look at your life. You also don't know that you're dying. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to beg you? Ubacharta b'chayim." Now why that should make an impact after 3 hours of drushes, I don't know. But it was a transformatory moment. His eyes opened up wide. And the bottom line is that the next day he registered in the yeshiva and he was learning Maseches Makos Kemat Baal Peh. I don't have any explanation. The story does not have the happy ending that it should have because Kol Bayeho Lo Yeshuvun, and after a number of years of tremendous rehabilitation, there was a reversion and a lot of years in jail. But he was from. In jail he was from. He kept Shabbos, tefillin, tzitzis, everything, the whole thing. Remarkable. And a lot of emunah. But in a certain sense it was too late. The life was a shambles. Never got married. I mean, whatever, But what's my point? My point is that the Rambam understands here that Re'ena Satu Lefanecha is not only the insistence that you have to choose Chayim, but the pasuk that begins Re'ena Satu Lefanecha and similar psukim are declaring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giving up his kayach in order that you should be given the choice. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you Bechira by offering you that which is really completely his to begin with, and that is decision of life and death. So that's the Rambam's Lashon, that it's the Ikar Gadol and Amud HaTorah VaHaMitzvah, Shenema Reina Satu Fenecha Hayoyim Es HaChayim, Ksiv Reina Chinesei Lefneichem Hayoyim, Kloimer Shoshus Biyedchem, V'kol Sheyachpoitz HaOdom Lasis Mimaisa Bnei HaOdom Oysa Bein Toivim Bein Royim. O Mipnei Zer Inyan Nemar Mi Yitain Gohoyo Levovam Zelohem Kloimar She'ein HaBoyre Koyfei Bnei Odom. Chazal interpreted Mi Yitain that they're Kfuyei Tova because they should have said Halotain. That's the Gemara Nadar Nizar about Hey. But the fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not say I'm going to make you that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not produce robots. He does not have people who simply goose-step the mahalach of Torah and mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu so has tweaked them and genetically engineered them. So mipi elyon lo seitze aros va'atov and reina satav chayon is chayim sarah. What is the consequence? That even when they say that when we see that they're on a certain madrega, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't seal the madrega closed and say that's the way you'll be forever. And like a wistful person who wishes that they would be good, when he sees the children doing something beautiful, halavai they would be like that all the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mi yitain b'hoyo levavam zeh. Heitivu asher diberu, mi yitain b'hoyo levavam zeh kol hayom. Mi yitain is a sign of abandoning your power and authority. What do you mean, mi yitain? Make it happen. So the Baruch Shalom says, I can't make it happen because I gave them that kayach. So they have the decision, so it remains mi yitain. Halavai. I wish they would be like that. So that wishful thinking, that wistfulness on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because he gave away that kayach to man. And then, of course, he says he can't tell a person be good, be bad. He would never send a Nevi'im, and the whole of Halacha Dalit follows that thesis. In the entire Rambam, I find that there's a nekuda missing in the Rambam, and that is the sensitivity to the Yetzer Hara. An awareness of the frailty of the person and the weakness of the person. If anything, there's something very strident about this Rambam, very triumphant about the koach ha'odom to fight the Yetzer. You don't see the existential struggle. You don't see the person that failed, the sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam of the person that has a yitzhara that he just can't control, can't overcome, no matter how much he tries. The Rambam, when he says it can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, it can be like Yeravam, is empowering the person to such an extent that it blinds you almost to the struggle that every one of us knows we go through in one Indian or another all the time. And the Rambam doesn't talk about that struggle. It's very interesting that the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva elsewhere speaks about things that are ma'akev as tshuva. And one of the examples that he gives is histaklus b'noshim. So the Rambam, when he speaks about histaklus b'noshim, says, why is it so difficult to do tshuva? So the Rambam doesn't say because it's the teva and it's a compulsion and that's what makes the world go round, and when they were mevatel the Yetzer Hara for Arayas, the chickens didn't lay eggs, and therefore it's such a nisayon, it's so difficult because it's really who we are that we're fighting. He doesn't say that. He says, because histaklus is interpreted by people, what did I do wrong? So interesting, you understand what I'm saying, that the mahalach, it's a different kind of mahalach. The Rambam says here, in Perek Dalet, Abov Esrim Dvarim Ma'akvim Esachuvah, etc., etc. So he says, you know, there are different categories. Mehem Chamishu Dvarim Ha'isai, some Ein Cheskosai Loshuv Mehem. Very interesting Loshen. There's no Cheskosai. What does it mean, Cheskosai? Because the Rambam still does not want to give up your Bechira, so it's not Cheskosai, but you can go against the Chazak. Lifi Sheim Dvarim Kalim Be'enei Roif Ha'odom V'nimtza Choytei V'hu Yidme She'ein Zechet Ve'elu Heim But the reason the person is giving you rishus is because he's embarrassed or whatever, but he's not really able to feed you. So it's like, what, really some terrible aveira. Lamaisa, he gave me rishus. What's the big deal? Mishamish ba'avoyte shol oni gimel ha'mistako ba'arayis. Mala al daito she'im bekach klum, shu oime v'chi ba'alti oi kerafti etzlo, v'hu eino yoideya, shu re'iyas ha'enayim ovon godol, shu higoy remes l'gufan shal arayas, shenemar, So what I'm trying to say is the Rambam doesn't say the reason it's very difficult to do tshuva is because the person is so compelled to do it. When he's compelled to do it, that he thinks to himself, what's the point of doing tshuva? Tomorrow I'll be the same as yesterday. Because that's who I am. The Rambam doesn't go with that mahalach, because the Rambam's orientation, I believe, is so strongly in terms of your having the ability to overcome any yetzer hara, that he has to say the reason this is a problem is because you don't realize that you have an issue here. In other words, if you realize you had an issue, and if you understood this was an avon gadol, and if you understood that this is the Pesach Torah, and you understood what the Ribbono Shel Olam takes very seriously, if all of that were true, that you comprehended the way it should be comprehended, then avada you would rise up against it and do tshuva. And the tshuva would be successful, because Rishus Kol Adam Nibna Lo, they can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's very remarkable that you find very little of this. On the other hand, take a look at the lashon that I just showed you in the Yad HaMelech. An article of the Note of Yehuda, very remarkable sefer on the Rambam, especially, not especially, but I mean in our inyanim that we're dealing with in his Machshava, he writes, he talks about the Yetzer Hara. You see, if you want to write about the Yetzer Hara, what you can write. So, look at page 4. The Koyach in the Nemar Tzayfer Rosh Ola Tzadik Umavakech Lahamisai. The Rosh, of course, is the Yetzer Hara. The Rosh is looking to kill the Tzadik. He's looking to kill the Yetzer Tov. He's looking to kill the person who, because of his Yetzer Tov, is a Tzadik. The Koyach Hara Hazeh, right? Laila Lo Yishkoit, Yoimam Lo Yonuach. What he's saying is that we have natural instincts. In that respect, we are similar to behemoths. And all of these natural instincts have positive aspects to them as well, because that's what makes me build, that's what makes me create and to procreate, and so on and so forth. Therefore, it is almost impossible. Gishon beisay shel haratzayin ubeis chaymer mishkanoi. That is really how HaKadosh Baruch Hu built humans, with that ratzin and that shuka to be memale his tigris. V'nemel yodon ruchi be'odom b'shagom hu basar. L'chein lulei koyach ha'boicher asher be'odom she'echoylus be'odom livcho neged ritzono ha'yoholuch tamid shoyva b'derech libo. V'yoyse rak rak kol ayayim. Is a critical component of any possibility to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Anybody who even for a moment is successful in overcoming the Yetzer Hara has to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam was on his side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ezra. Hakein cholak mikvayt b'ochu l'kvayt basa v'dom livrei yaisai b'tzalim d'mus tabnisai. Then Taya Kayak Bechira Zoysiam Shileyab Maisiyodov, Livcha Kavasnafshe, the Sikhle Negad Ritzain. So he says that the Ratzon of a person is to do what comes naturally. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a non animal human / human quality, which makes him Baal Bechira, he's really giving him a divine Kayak. In other words, what he's saying is there's the world and there's the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Bechira really belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the person belongs to the world. If a person's natural state is to be part of the world, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is totally the master of Bechira. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can decide to do this or that, because everything is biyadai. The person is a behemoth. So the kayach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Ke'ilu away or shared with people, this kayach HaBechira is a divine aspect in the human being, which makes him different than all the behemoths. Now, in the essay on Bechira of Rav Dessler, he takes a certain position, which I wanted to share with you in the little time that's remaining. He argues in by co-opting something of Rav Yerucham, the Mira Mashgiach. You know, he was an enekel of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rav Dessler, and it's like it's all one orientation, one cheder. But he quotes the Mira Mashgiach to the point where he says the Iker Yisoid of all Bechira, where are we headed? So we are headed not to have Bechira. It's very interesting. It's almost like he paints a picture which takes the Yad HaMelech's words that we just read and goes one step further, as if to say, you start out by perceiving yourself at a present company. I mean, the human being perceives himself without bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam into the picture, without understanding the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us of Bechira, then we are compelled. What Rabbi Yerucham says is that's not only where we start out, that's where we're headed. But the compulsion becomes Ratzon Hashem. In other words, what Bali Musa want from us is really an incredible agenda, and that's La B'chol Yom Mizrachis Nisa. What they want is that we so totally choose that it's no longer a choice because it is now our nature. Now you have, very interesting, you have Nura Be'Amram and you have Rabbi Akiva's Maisa with the prostitutes. And you see a very remarkable thing. Amram is called the Amram Chasida. And the Gemara speaks about the Amram Chasida, that he had these shavuyos in the attic, and they had to stay there and sojourn overnight until they went on their way. And they decided that in this strange place, and these are very vulnerable girls, that their only safe haven would be in the house of Amram Chasida. And Rav Amram Chasida, of course, per se, but not only that, but there was in the attic, and the attic had an opening. And the way you got up into the attic was by putting a ladder at the opening. The ladder was so heavy that it required quite a number of people to push it and to pull it. And when the ladder was in place, they brought the women up. And the intention was to bring them down by replacing the ladder in the morning and going on their merry way. Meanwhile, in the middle of the night, single-handedly, Vamram Chasida pulls the ladder over to the opening because he sees a ray of light. The Gemara speaks very tersely. The Gemara speaks about this ray of light that he saw. It's remarkable. It's almost like speaking about Taiva in an aesthetic, spiritual sense. Very remarkable Gemara. But not dwelling upon that, he drew the ladder and he started climbing up the ladder. Somewhere in the middle of the ladder, he realizes that what he's doing. Now, one would expect that having that realization, letting the koiches hanefesh come into play, letting his ratzon elyon coming into play would be sufficient, that he'd simply go down the ladder and that would be the end of the whole story. But he can't go down the ladder. But he doesn't want to go up the ladder. But he also knows that a few minutes from now, and he's going to go up the ladder. Rav Amram Chasida. You're certainly not painting here a picture of somebody whose Bechira was so much under control that he no longer has Bechira to go up the ladder. He went up the ladder and he can't even go down the ladder. So what does he do? He starts screaming, fire. Nura Be'Amram. The people who are outside hear the screams. He wakes up the whole neighborhood with his screams. And they come running with the bucket brigade. And of course the house is not on fire. And they take a look and they see, and they put two and two together in a second. Ramam Chasida is halfway up the ladder, which nobody can move unless you have two or three people schlepping it. And where is he headed? So they say, you embarrassed us. And he says these famous words, better that I should embarrass you in this world than I should embarrass you in the world to come. Imagine a person who lived a very virtuous life, and it's time for him to go to Olam Emes, and he goes to Gan Eden, and the Beis Din there says, you led such a virtuous life, we give you the choice to be with anybody's mitzvah that you want. Pick a tzaddik. He says, I want to be with Amram Chasida. He says, no, you don't want to be with Amram Chasida. I'm telling you, you don't want to be with Amram Chasida. He says, no, I do. And the elevator goes down. And he says, why is the elevator going down? And this, of course, is a different picture entirely than the Medrash that speaks about how they wanted to entice Rabbi Akiva and they sent him these prostitutes. Of course, prostitutes and shvuyas, vulnerable Yiddish kinder, it's not the same picture, I'm asking. But when Rabbi Akiva opened the door and they thrust themselves upon him, he started to vomit. It was so nauseating to him that he started to vomit. And of course they ran back and said, what kind of Meshuggah did you send us? Now, this ability not only to control but also to reorient yourself is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, ultimately. But to reach that Madrega requires an avoida of a lifetime and kuli haivu ulai. But Rabbi Yerucham's yesod is that you have to try to give up your bechira. And let's read just a few lines of that in the Michtav Meliyahu that you have. You have it here. Page, it starts on page 117 on the bottom. Achesed v'abechir shamati mechadam yuchim v'gdor lehem amikim asher yadati v'doiri chochem v'kodesh rabbi yuchim alevi zatzal midemir ki inyan abechir ha-toivu hu sha'odam yivka losum es atzmoy lemuchrach. The point of bechira, the ultimate bechira, the bechira toiva, is to make himself no longer a bocher. V'haynu she'yakir v'yeda ki be'emes muchrach hu la'asas ritzayn kainay. Because that's the force of gravity. He says, a person's being mugged, and the guy's holding a gun or a knife. So anybody with the slightest intelligence who's in control of his intelligence and doesn't fly off the handle, and doesn't wax, you know, angry and reacts in a stupid way, where he risks his life, says to himself, listen, if I react and I fight him, he's going to knife me or shoot me. So I'm going to give him my money, and I'll be very plain and very calm, and afterwards I'll curse the heavens, you know. But meanwhile, I give him what he wants. So he says there's a certain hechrich in that. Anyone who has the slightest intelligence realizes that he has no other choice but to react to the ganav or to the list of mizuyan in that way. So he says, "Fizeh mishi adeya heitev uboru ubeliboy, devar gedulas ribaynoi umakiras oitzim tzaras hamamres piv, haloi bevada yimtzas atzmoi muchrach lemalis ritzayn kainoi." This is very similar, and this is an early stage. Or here he's saying two things bevasachas. One of them is the yiras ha'einish, the real sense of yiras ha'einish. And one of them is simply the sense of who's being mitzvah, what it's all about, which is of course a much higher madrega. That gets us to the 10th perik of avodah me'ava versus avodah me'ira, 10th perik of this tshuva. But the Rabbi Yerucham here is very similar to the Beis Halevi, the famous Beis Halevi that says that when the Rebbeinu Shlomim Moshe Rabbeinu says Ma Hashem l'kach shomei hakim li'ira. Why is Gemara asks to hear Milsa Zutrasa that the Loshen is Ma Hashem? Gemara answers in Lagabe Moshe. So he wants to understand the Ran's question. What do you mean in Lagabe Moshe? But that's Moshe. What about everybody else? So still, when you're talking to other people, you have to go on their level to understand that they may not be like you, and by them it's not a Milsa Zutrasa. So how do you say Ma Hashem Elokech Shomeimach to them? What kind of pedagogue is that? That gives over an understanding of something based on himself and not based on where the Talmidim are. That's the Ran's Kasha. What do you mean? In Lagabe Moshe Milsa Zutrasa. How does that answer the question? So the Beis Halevi says that if you're running to do whatever taiva it is, and all of a sudden you run on a lake that's frozen or across a bridge, and the bridge starts to shake and fall apart, you forget about your taiva completely. All you're interested is in saving your life. And the taiva disappears. It disappears into nothing. Because that instinct to preserve yourself takes over completely. And there's no longer a taiva. So he says, if you really had that sense of Yira Shamayim, then it would be impossible to do any avayis. Someone once remarked that the Beis Halevi himself says, Lagabi de Kfari of the Eben Ezra, you know, the famous Eben Ezra and Loisachmait. So the Eben Ezra says, how can you legislate Loisachmait? I want it. I want it to be mine. So he says that a kfari, a hick, a farmer, a peasant, when he sees the princess driving by, he doesn't say, I want her to be my wife, because it's totally absurd. So the Eben Ezra says, if you have that hasaga, then you know legabe averus, legabe somebody else's possessions, you know whatever. Then you don't have any desire. So the Beis Halevi says he's right, but he doesn't understand how you could be that kfari. So someone once pointed out, the same Beis Halevi who understands very well that if you're really afraid enough, then you don't do averus. He can't chop the Eben Ezra's kfari. It's remarkable. It just goes to show, you know, it's very easy to say all of these things. You can say the Beis Halevi, you can say the Eben Ezra, you can even teach it, but that doesn't mean that it's you. And until it's you, it's an avodah of a lifetime. And again, as I said, kulei haivu ulai. But the Beis Halevi's word and this word are very, very similar. And then, of course, he quotes a Gra, and the Gra says what I told you a moment ago. He says here in the name of the Gra that the Yad HaMelech said that basically we have the Bahami that is in common with all other Briyas, and then Hashem gave away a gift which is really only His, and that is Bechira. So the Gra says one more, he goes one step further, and our responsibility is to give that back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a very beautiful thought. Matzasi kosa b'shem Agra davar nifla miyoyd. B'chol pu'ula yesh ratzayin kaidem la. Until somebody does something, there has to be the desire to do it. What moves my hand? The ratzayin inside. V'yesh ha'yecholus l'malus ha'ratznahu. And then I have the hand that makes it happen. V'haynu sha'yecholus klihu l'ratzayin l'hitziya l'payah. The Yecholos is the Hechatimtza to make happen what I want. Omnam, Ritzayin Hashem Yisbarach Hu Shenekayim Es Mitzvayisav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has obviously the Kli, the Yecholos, the hand, Yad Hashem, to make His Ratzon happen. Namely, to force a person to do right and wrong. He wants the world to behave a certain way, and He certainly has the Yecholos to make that happen. To fulfill that Ratzon. But, even though it is His Yecholos, Ach es ha'yecholos shaloi, shebi yecholtoi l'hachri chenu, mosalonu, v'hi ha'bechira, asher bi yecholteinu la'aseis kasher nivcharanu, mipi el yon lo se tse'aroz v'ato. Me'ata, mechuyovim onu l'hazir lo yisborach es yecholto, haynu, she na'ase es atzmenu muchrochim la'aseis kiritzayim v'aleinu. In other words, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving you the Bechira, and then you have to make what I wanted to make happen by choosing it yourself. So if you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu back that Bechira, you make yourself Muchrach. It's that reciprocation which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Uvacharta Vachayim. And he says that that's really a Medrash Mefureshes and Breishis Rabbah, that there are things that are B'Shus HaShel Adam and things that are not B'Shus HaShel Adam. Again, we get to the Nisayon of Estaklus, the Ayin is not like the Peh, the Oizen is not like the Yad, and the Af is not like the Regel, the Chaitim. So he says, B'Shoah Shu Zeiche, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oysa Oysan She'Birshusai She'Loi Birshusai. Mekan She'esh Geder L'Sayei El Adam L'Asas Atzmei Muchrach. Right, he says that you can make yourself muchrach, and it says here, b'shoah shu zeiche, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa oisan she'birshusai she'loi birshusai. Very remarkable, because the things that are not birshusai could still be sursuri aveira, ha'ayin roya v'halev choyvei, and then the person does the aveiras. But that's not their direction. What they're trying to say is that simply in the bodily functions, there are certain things that are controlled by us on a regular basis, and certain things that are not controlled by us. So the things that are not controlled by us are almost like outside of us. We have no choice. So he wants that the things that are controlled by us, we should also have no choice. That's how he's interpreting the Medrash, and it means l'toiva. So we can be rutz only to dvar mitzvah. We can lift our hand only to put on tefillin, and so on and so forth. Just to finish, this whole thesis is totally on what he says at the very beginning, which is very well known. This part, not everybody gets to this part of the cheshbon of Rav Dessler, but the very beginning everybody knows. That points of Bechira are such that you don't have a consistent bechira issue throughout your life. In other words, a person isn't what he is, and everything is the same as him. He compares it to battles. If a person has a front and they win the battle, the front progresses further, and the part that they won becomes integrated into the landmass of the victor. So this is already mine. I don't have to worry about it. He says people are born and they're nurtured and raised in a frum environment. They don't have a nisayon to keep Shabbos. It was the most remarkable thing of all. A person's addicted to cigarettes. He smokes 3 packs a day. And he keeps Rabbeinu Tam's mouth. He does. That's his background. That's his commitment. He will not take a cigarette. He'll look at the clock. But he will not take a cigarette and say that since it's already Ois Shabbos for, it's good enough for Reb Moshe, it's good enough for me. No, he's going to keep the Rabbeinu Tam's man and then poison himself. Because the inyan of Shabbos is so integrated, there's no nisayon, there's no battlefield. Let a person tell him afterwards, why don't you smoke a cigarette every hour instead of a pack every hour? No, he can't do it. Show him the lungs and all the photographs and all the pictures that you have today and all of the literature and throw at him the whole, all the warnings and the expense and the waste. Won't help a kihuzeh. Logic won't help. The pleadings of his wife and children won't help. Nothing will help. But comes Friday evening, there's not even a habit to take a cigarette. All of a sudden, that type is gone. How could it be? It's biologically not supported. The Torah says exactly what he says. There is no battlefield. The battlefield of Shmira Shabbos was never waged. That war, that battle was never waged because there was never a battlefield. Because that's a given. That's part of your domain. It's part of your territory. But where is the battle? The battle's with cigarettes. The battle's with arayos. The battle's with estakos. There are people who will not have anything to do with an eshes ish, even if you cut off their hands and their legs. Comes to estakos, they have no control. So what's the pshat? How could it be? It's basically a similar inyan. So he'll say, because of the Rambam. The Rambam says it because he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. Well, there's a great deal of truth to that, but that itself is because he hasn't integrated the wrongness of it in the same way that he's integrated the wrongness of Eish HaSish. And don't think that that's so poshut, because there are a lot of people in the world that have no problem with an Eish HaSish at all, and it's getting worse every single day. As long as you don't hurt anybody. Yeah, I can make chor of a person, his life, his children, but as long as I don't hurt anybody. Yeah. So Lemaisa, his thesis at the beginning is followed up by his thesis at the end. In other words, there's no longer any battlefield. It's all part of the territory. But of course, that is an incredible avoda. So, I mean, the chomer that you have in front of you, it's a very wonderful thing to look through over and over again. But this sheet of the Rambam, just in terms of Divrei Chizuk, I find that the Rambam is so oblivious of the nisayon of the Yetzer Hara. And I think that the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Teshuva has a lot to say about it too. Of course, he says there that not everybody is on that madrega. But the Rambam's description of Cheilas Ahava is very astonishing. Again, in almost the same way. You ever watch a marriage progress? Person's married, Baruch Hashem, to the same woman, and he does not have a new experience with a stranger. It's the same woman. He knows everything about her that there is to know inside and out. He has, they start to look alike. You know, husbands and wives, they say they start to look alike. They talk, they finish each other's sentences. At that point, can you speak about Cheilas Ahava? Can you speak about somebody who is so in love that he walks into telephone poles, crosses the street on a red light with cars racing by without even realizing it, takes a wrong turn because he's busy thinking about her? And the Rambam insists that that's how a person should feel about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is for ages. So there are many ways of looking at it. First of all, I think that, you know, there's an inyan in sphira that you go from madrega to madrega. At each madrega, there's a different Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not talking about shituf. I'm talking about the sense of the Eibishter is radically different. It's a different Ribbono Shel Olam. Imagine if you made discoveries over time that you never knew who your wife was. So that discovery, if it's profound enough, so you can be Chayla Sava. It's only when you know it all already and when it becomes part of your routine. So mitzvah sanoshim ulumada, you'll never be Chayla Sava, that's for sure. But if a person is really on a madrega, and then there's the next madrega, you understand very well that in the Liyos Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu, there's an infinite number of madregas to reach. When you want to be what Rabbi Yeruchim considers the ideal, there are an infinite number of madregas to reach. In each one of those madregas, not only are you different, but your connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam is different, and your awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam in your life is different, and memela, inevitably, it could be Chaylas Ava. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that Chaylas Ava is when you discover it's our sense of that kind of preoccupation, but there's never a loss. In fact, as time goes on, it's replaced by a different kind of Chaylas Ava, and that is Asei Ritzainai Ritzaincha. That's Chaylas Ava. In other words, if a person is enough in love that after a certain point he comes into the doctor with his wife who has phlebitis and he says, like Rav Aryeh Levine, our foot hurts. That's an unbelievable Chaylas Ava. When a person imagines what will hurt your feelings and in fear and trepidation goes around that so it should never happen, that's Chaylas Ava. But it's not the Chaylas Ava of day one. Chaylas Ava of day one is basically preoccupation with yourself. And that's the tremendous idea that I always say is rooted, it really the Netziv says it in the Hamid Gover. Ata yadati ki rei lekim ata. Everybody asks the question, Midas Ava is greater than Yira. And after that, Nisayon, he sees Yira. So the answer is, Avada Ava is greater than Yira. But there's a greater Madrega than that Ava. And that's the Yira that follows Ava. Why? Because Ava has all the milus in the world, but it has one chesaron. You're in the driver's seat. I love. It's like the old word, you love fish. If you loved fish, you'd throw them back in the water. You love yourself. Most Ava comes from my needs, from the satisfaction of those needs, from the feeling that this person is doing something to me that makes me feel great, makes me feel exhilarated, makes me feel special, makes me feel wonderful. That's Ava, which has very little to do with the object of your Ava. But naturally, the perception is that you love her. But you really don't love her. Loving her means, what do you need? What can I do for you? How can I help you? What makes you hurt? Ma'da'aloch soni l'chavruch osavit. And that's the yisod of the Torah, as Hillel says. And chavruch is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person's constant preoccupation is to fulfill the Ritzayin HaBayre, that it becomes my Ritzayin, that's Ata Yadati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. It's an Ava that says, I will never exercise a privilege. I will never say, I'm in the driver's seat. I will never say, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's me, your good friend, Avraham Avinu. You know, you put so much stock into me. Now you're going to do this to me? No, I'm a lowly Eved, and I don't even have havaminis of having any issues or questions. I do it because that's what you want. That's a Yira that's beyond Ava, and that is the ultimate Chaylas Ava, really. So it's not a Kasha as first it seems, because the preoccupation that the Rambam describing is you see the entire world as one big Heichet Timtza to fulfill the Ratzon HaBayre. And that is very, very similar to Rabbi Yeruchim's Torah and all the others who say that the ultimate point is not to have the Nisayon, but rather that the Ratzon is so great that in effect the battlefields are gone and the territory is clinched and everything becomes the Ribbono Shel Olam's Ratzon, because that is in its very essence the only choice that I have. I've given away my Bechira. Okay.
You already said that the Avram Kasida, the Avram Kasida isn't necessarily this idea that